Low clouds blotted out the stars. Wind whispered in the grass. Sleep was needed, but I was wakeful as a man with three Spartan-age daughters. You were there when the word came, Tyrell. Do you figure there's more to this than Logan let on? You know Logan better than I do. He cut his stick for trouble before he was knee-high to a short hog. And you know any time Logan calls for help, there's no telling what's involved. There's mighty little in the way of trouble Logan can't handle all by himself. He never lied to us. He never lied to nobody. Nolan and Logan have done things here and there that you and me wouldn't, but they never broke their given word. Tyrell bedded down, but I lay awake, trying to think it out, tired though I was. We were pushing 1,100 head of fat steers across the Dakota Plains, headed for the gold mines in far western Canada. The Dakota country was new to us. Wide, wide plains, but good grass so far, and we'd been lucky enough to come upon water when needed. Cap Roundtree had been up this way before, but aside from Tyrell, who had been marshal of a gold mining town in Idaho, none of us had been so far north. We'd put the herd together in a hurry because Logan was in need, and started the drive short-handed, which meant extra work for all. Oren was coming up by steamboat and was to meet us at Fort Garry for the long drive west. Those to whom we'd talked, who might or might not know what they were talking about, said there were no towns to the west. There were trading posts here and yonder, however, one of them being Fort Whoopup. Even about that, we heard two stories. Some said it was simply a trading post, but others said it was a hangout for rustlers, whiskey peddlers, and the like. If it was kin to such places as we'd known, it could be both. We Sackets had come west from the Tennessee-North Carolina country in search of new lands. Ours had been among the earliest folk to settle back yonder, but somehow we stuck to the high uphills where the game was and let the good bottom lands slip away to latecomers. Most newcomers to the west found the life hard and the ways rough, but to mountain-bred folks it was no different from what we were accustomed to. Any time a Sackett had meat on the table, it was likely to be meat he'd shot, and if Pa was away from home, it was we youngsters who did the shootin'. Those who lived round about used to say that Sackets and shootin' went together like hog meat and hominy. Stock driving had been our way of life since first we settled in the hills. It was old Yance Sackett who began it some 200 years back, and he started it with turkey drives to market. After that, it was hogs, and like turkeys, we drove them afoot for the most part. If you had turkeys or hogs to sell, you just naturally drove them to market or sold them to a drover. Word came from Logan just after we'd sold 900 head of prime beef in Kansas. We'd actually sold 1,400 head, but some of the stock belonged to neighbors. Cap Roundtree, Tyrell, and I were at a table in the drover's cottage when that man with the green eyeshade came up to me and said, "Mr. Sackett, this here message come for you a day or two back. I reckon it's important, and I just now heard you were in town." "Cap," I said, "if you and Tyrell will pardon me, I'll just see what this is."
"Shall I read it?"
Tyrell asked me. "You might," I said, and was glad for the offer. When it came to schooling, I'd come up empty, and whilst I was learning to read and write, I was mighty short on words. There were still a good many I'd never driven into the corral to slap the brand of memory on.